I was going to ask, in what ways has Simon Fraser University shown itself to be a good steward of the land on Burnaby Mountain?
That's a little bit difficult. I know there's some things relating, like environmental concerns, like the salt that was being used on the roads a few years ago was impacting the Stony Creek water system and the fish. So they had to totally replan their, they use a special kind of brine now on the roads. And also where the salt was being stored, if there was lots of rain, like it was kind of washing down the mountain into Stony Creek. And so that had to be all redesigned so that it wouldn't impact the environment.
Was that an issue that came up in the Environment Committee then?
It was an issue that came up, like, from the city that was discussed in Environment Committee. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering how you were aware of that.
Also because I read the paper, and because it was in the university newsletter and also in the SFU. Like, it was fairly significant because, and Stony Creek committee, they made sure that the rest of the community knew that this was happening because they had to bring change. And also, as far as campus is concerned, we gave some environment awards to SFU for some of their energy-reducing measures and also their recycling plans on campus. Mm-hmm. They've got awards for that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think they have, and because they're a university, they're supposed to be setting an example, right? So I think they've done a pretty good job of keeping up with things.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you feel that they could step up more?
I'm not familiar enough with the day-to-day operations to be able to answer that. Yeah.
Okay. Over the years, you've been involved as a volunteer in many community groups and events. And one that I wanted to ask you about was belonging to the City of Burnaby's Environment Committee. You were a citizen representative between 2008 and 2014. Tell me what sparked your interest in becoming a member of the Environment Committee.
Well, as I said before, I've been involved in environmental projects in Burnaby, and from the city point of view and the school district point of view, for many years. And I, for example, in the Burnaby Centennial, which was, I think, 1992, was Burnaby 100?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so I got my year right. I served as the coordinator for the school district Centennial Project, which was a big eco festival at Burnaby, not Burnaby Lake, at Deer Lake. And so at that time, I had to work with the city because we had a lot of stuff. It was like a 2-day festival that involved hundreds of school kids, and it took like 4 months of planning this particular event. So I had to work with engineering and planning. Every week we were planning out strategies and what we needed and what had to be done. And it was a huge undertaking that I was coordinating. So,
can I stop you just for a minute? Mm-hmm. You said that you were dealing with engineering and planning, but not parks and recreation?
Yes, I guess. Yeah, I have to include those. Parks
but
and recreation,
it sounds like
too.
Engineering, yeah. And planning were the,
yes,
the main.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we carried on this festival at the beginning of June in 1992. And during that process, the 4 months, I got to meet a lot of Burnaby people, and I was at City Hall, and it was and then I got asked to write a program on garbage for the city, so I did that, and that involved school kids, like activities for school kids, and it was called Cut the Garbage. And So I was doing lots of things. So when I retired from, all my stuff was ongoing. And then I ended up doing stuff with the province, the environment, ministry, et cetera, et cetera. So I was involved in a lot of things. So once I retired, I felt like I had a lot of skills and had some experience in doing things. And during that time, what had also kind of motivated me was in 1992, I was selected. They selected 30 teachers from across Canada to go to a big environment convention back in Ontario. And I applied for that and I was accepted. So I had an all expenses paid trip to Ontario. And then after I did that, like, they wrote, there was a big write-up in the Burnaby Now, et cetera, et cetera. And I felt like I'd been given this opportunity. So now I had a mandate to kind of follow through on things. So I was really highly motivated, but also because I had applied for that. I applied for that because it meant, I just didn't apply for it to get a free trip to Ontario. I applied for it because I really believed in what they were trying to teach teachers to teach kids. Mm-hmm. So that was in 1992. So that was kind of a pivotal year for me because I didn't mention that when I was going through all that Forest Grove stuff, and I did take 9 years out and I did resign from the Burnaby School District. When I decided I wanted to go back part-time, I went to the school board office and said, I want to come back to work. And one of the superintendents had been my former principal, and he says, when do you want to start? He says, I have a perfect job for you. So I started back in the school district in 1989 after taking 9 years out. So that's how I got reconnected with the school district. So that was 1989. Now we're at 92. So I came back, and because I now had children, my own children, I was very hooked into what was happening in the world and to the environment. And so that just became kind of my, what I was known for. And then I got into worm composting. I did all those things in
worm composting.
Yes.
Did you know Dean Lamont?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Because I was thinking 1992, that's an interesting year.
We did some workshops and stuff together. Oh. Yeah, I haven't seen, is he still in Forest Grove?
No, he lives on Vancouver Island now.
Really? Yeah. Well, oh my gosh.
So did he get you involved in the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society at all then? This was...
Oh, I forgot about the Preservation Society. Yeah. Yes, I was involved with that too. I forgot about that.
So you were aware of the dispute between the city and SFU over control over land on Burnaby Mountain?
Yeah, that when it gets political like that, I go back to the grassroots.
Yes,
literally.
Well, tell me a bit about Dean Lamont and the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society.
Well, I just, boy, you've really jogged my memory now. He used to come over to my classroom and we did some workshops and he would talk with the kids and stuff. I wasn't actively involved in the society, but they were kind of on my list of things that I was interested in keeping up with what they were doing.
What kinds of things would have interested you in what they were doing?
Well, I don't remember the specific issues at the moment. I don't remember what...
Well, one of the things that they wanted to do was to make people more aware of the value of the conservation area.
And that
they
correct.
Take people on walks on the trails.
That's correct. Now I remember. Yes.
So would you have been involved in that then?
No, I wasn't directly involved in that because I was so busy with all these other things I was mm-hmm. doing. But he was definitely like, he came to my classroom and talked to kids and stuff. Yeah.
About Burnaby Mountain?
About Burnaby Mountain and also about worm composting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I'd forgotten about Dean.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Could you tell me some stories about him at all?
I don't remember any off the top of my head. I just know he was very, I would call him not an activist, but he was very dedicated to what he believed in.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
I'm really sorry that I'm not going to be able to interview him, because, of course, he is on the island. But he sounds like he was very pivotal in that a public advocacy the conservation
that's
area.
That's right. Yeah. So just back to the question that I was trying to answer about the Environment Committee. So because I had all this groundwork and this foundation, both in the school district and in the city, when I retired, I thought, what else can I do? And then I realized that they had, Burnaby had these committees and you could apply for them. And so I applied. Maybe back then you could apply for a specific committee, because as I told you, you can't apply for a specific committee now. You can say what you don't want to do and what you do want to do, but you can't narrow it down. I ended up on that committee, and I loved it. And so it was a 3-year term, and then you get automatically renewed unless you don't want to be renewed. So I spent 6 years, which just ended last year.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember when you were on the committee, if you dealt with any issues that were, say, more specific to Burnaby Mountain?
No, just the pipeline stuff is the big one.
Yeah.
It sounds like the
salt issue came through you as well.
The salt issue was just a general Burnaby issue, being more aware. And we had one of the guys on the committee was on the Burn Creek and is very involved in fish. Mm-hmm. And so he was very proactive around that too. Yeah.
Would the Stony Creek Environment Committee come and make presentations to the Environment Committee?
No, but they could write letters. And we did give awards to a couple of individuals on the Stony Creek Environment Committee.
With Jennifer Atchison.
Yes.
Did you know her at all?
I knew who she was, and I met her a couple of times, but I didn't actually work directly with her. Yeah.
How did she impress you?
Just, again, dedicated to what she really believed in.
Yeah. I talked to 3 members of the Stony Creek Environment Committee, and there's stories about her passion and dedication.
Yes, I know.
Pretty inspirational.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been involved with the Stream Keepers at all?
Not directly, but just as part of some of the things I've done. You know, their issues have come up or whatever, but I haven't been directly involved in one of their groups or committees. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like there were any pressing issues that were coming from the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area that was...
No, and anything big like that would go directly to City Council, and then it comes as an information item to the committee.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And in what ways has the City of Burnaby been a good steward of the land on Burnaby Mountain?
Well, I think just like they are in all parts of Burnaby, they're also a good steward of university, and they have put a lot of faith in those who are running this particular area of Burnaby. But I know, they're very, very cognizant of what needs to be done.
Oh, you're thinking of the development of university then?
Yes. Yeah. No, everything is very, very well regulated up here. Yeah, as far as the land use and what you can and can't do. Yeah.
So the city presence is felt up here then?
You don't really feel it, but you know it's there.
Yes. Well, yeah. if you had, say, I don't know, some complaints to make about, say, the Richard Bolton Park or garbage pickup or whatever, would you go to the city, or who would
you would
go
to? You see, the problem here is, like, some streets belong to SFU, some belong to the city, and it's hard to know which is which. So, for example, for the snow removal, the city pays SFU facilities. This is what I understand. They are paid to plow our streets rather than sending city trucks all the way up here for mm-hmm. one street. Because believe me, if that street gets snowed in, we don't go anywhere. It's yes. very dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, so SFU does all the plowing, but actually, like, the lights on one street belong to one side of the street belong to SFU, on the other side they belong to the city. So someone's actually developing a map of what belongs to what, right? But I think, like, Richard Bolton Park, I think the city runs it, but I don't know if they actually own the land that it's on.
No, I'm not sure. That would be SFU.
Yeah.
But you're right that they are the ones that designed and developed the park. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in the sense that the parks has certain standards that must be followed when you develop
exactly.
a park. And those
yeah.
are the
exactly
standards that
and
have
the same
to be
with the school. You know, like it was a university building, you know, an SFU building that became the school that was all redeveloped, but everything was under the guise of the school district.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all same right. sort of thing. It gets very confusing what belongs to who, right?
Yes, but it sounds like there's a fairly good cooperation going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and that's why I think people don't get involved. They just, they oh. live, they come and go and do their own thing every day, and they don't really worry about the neighborhood or developing a sense of community because everything is pretty much taken care of and they just come and go and nobody really wants to.
And it must be a bit confusing as to who you would address about
exactly
community
yeah,
issues.
It does get a bit confusing. Oh, yeah.
So that is that's a problem then for developing
yeah,
community.
Yeah, and you see,
here.
This is the thing. We had a small group of people that tried to form a Burnaby Mountain Residents Association to try and get some things going and to promote events and stuff. And, you know, the guy that was keeping it together dropped dead of a heart attack last spring. And so basically with him, this whole thing kind of fell flat. So now no one else is kind of picking up the torch and moving it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was also some contention because there were a couple of people in the group that thought it should be advocating for all the issues for our community that were being impacted by Kinder Morgan. And other people wanted it to be more grassroots, like, this is our neighborhood, let's plan a festival, let's plan a street party, let's do some community things to bring people together. So there was kind of a division on the committee. So it's probably better not to have it than it was to have it, because it wasn't really going anywhere.
And it sounded like it was polarizing in some
ways. It was a little bit polarizing, but, you know, what can you do?